Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. And with me today, not in the studio, but on Zoom, is Ron Meyer, Pennsylvania, and Jeff Hoagland from the Philippines. And it's late night for you. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you. Hello and from Ron, the hot and sunny, sometimes rainy Philippines.
And Ron, what's it like in Pennsylvania?
What do you mean sometimes rainy, Jeff? It's pretty rainy over there a lot, at least while I've been there. Anyway, welcome. It's so good to be on the podcast, Larry, once again.
Okay, well, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about planting churches and leadership as it has to do with planting churches. And so I want to, first of all, get some background from the two of you. We'll start with you, Jeff, since you're the furthest away. I'm here in the studio and you are in the Philippines. Give us a little background on church planning from your life.
Oh, so much. You know, I started planting churches in 2001. Okay. And I really was a student of church planting. We started and we were doing house church. We did community churches, and it was a great experience. Learned a lot. And my typical mode of operation was plant a church, stay there for 2 or 3 years, raise up a Timothy or two, and hand off the church and go on to the next assignment. The last place we planted, I ended up staying 11 years. And wow. During that 11 years when I was there, church planting changed dramatically. When we first started, we didn't have to worry about children's check-in and things of that nature. And then all of a sudden, the world had changed, and I needed to do some catching up.
Right. And Jeff, you were playing church in the USA, was my assumption.
But yes, sir. In the USA, in North Carolina and South Carolina.
Great. Ron, talk to us about your church playing experience.
I was just a young guy, farmer at that point in time, Larry, as you would remember well. And we planted a church locally here in 1987. The interesting thing out of that is, as the years progressed, we were able to send a group of people to another county to plant a church. And then right after that, I guess it was even before that, I helped another individual plant a church, as in coaching, walking with them, that kind of thing, in another county. And then we sent some to help plant a church in another county. Then we literally multiplied the church at that point in time and sent almost half of us to a neighboring county. And we went deeper into the more the major city in the county that I was a part of in Lebanon County, Pennsylvania. And then out of that church plant, I had turned it over to somebody else in 99. And out of that came a church plant that I was currently a part of. That church grew and planted a church out of that. So I haven't been doing all that church planting, but been involved in the processes of seeing people plant churches. So
using different generations of church planting, which is really, really, really cool. So we're talking about in USA. Jeff, you're obviously in the Philippines, seeing it happen there also. Why is church planting so important, guys? Why more churches? Jeff, what's your response?
Well, if the statistics are true, and it's on the internet, so it must be true. they're saying that we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,700 churches closing. And the good news is, I think since 2019, we've been planting upwards towards 4,000 churches per year, which sounds great that we're on the plus side. But we have a feeling that there's some double counting going on there. So it may be much less than that. Because networks and denominations working together, which is a kingdom great thing. However, it skews the statistics just a little bit. And so with that being said, even if the stats were true, we're not keeping up with the population.
Okay. And Ron, what would your response to that question be?
Well, I think there's always a need for new churches. New churches attract new people. The goal is, again, to see the harvest come in. That's got to be the goal. There's lots of reasons to plant new churches, but really in our heart, as we think growth, as we think expansion, we think in terms of what is in really in the heart of the individual. So if someone comes, there are church planters that the Lord specifically has called to plant churches, and the best thing they can do is plant a church. In fact, you can list the whole list of reasons, Jeff and Larry, you can list the whole group of reasons as to why you should plant a church, but the one reason that will keep you going the distance is that the Lord is asking you to plant a church. So part of our heart is to help people fulfill what the Holy Spirit has already placed in their heart.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have been on the hearts to plant a church. They don't know they're allowed to. They don't know, I can actually do that.
Yeah.
And the two of you have compiled so much of what you've learned over the years in this new book, Church Planting Made Practical, which is an amazing, amazing book. And you just, things you've learned from other people around the world, put it all together, compiled it all together. It's a great book. Because a lot of people say, well, I don't know where to start. I'm helping a church planter right now. He's saying, where do we start? So I said, would you read this book? This is going to help you find some basic steps. And so why did you write the book?
Well, I think, first of all, it's a compilation of stuff. I just want to give credit. Brian Souter had put some stuff together previously, and we've been looking at this for our own needs for Dove and the Dove family. And we went through it. I went through it and redlined a lot, took out a lot of stuff, put in a lot of stuff, looked at it, sent it to Jeff. Jeff has had lots of experience in church planning, lots of experience with manuals, that kind of thing. I said, Jeff, look at this. Give me your honest input. He started putting input into it, and it got to the place where I felt he put enough into it that he should have his name on the cover as well. So that's how it came about. And so we drew from a lot of different places, our own experiences as far as what we knew from others and things that we've learned over the years. And that's why it's compiled by Jeff and I. So, but we did it for people, just as you said, Larry, a place to start. How to call to plant a church? Where do I start? Here's a place to start.
Okay, so after they read the book or and you learn, where's the next place? What's the next step? Jeff, if someone's sitting with you right now and says, I'm called to plant a church, and you say, well, I've got this. Do I have a book for you? You can tell them about the book. But what's the next thing to do? What's the starting place for them?
Sure. Now, I think that was the most important piece right there, to know that you're actually called. Good. Because church planting is hard enough.
Yeah.
That if you're not called, you're bound to quit. So the second step in that is go to your spouse, go to your family, and make sure there's an agreement there. Yeah. Again, because church planting is so tough, and it's not all the glitz and glamour. Nowadays, it seems to be kind of trendy, and once you actually get into the nitty gritty of it all, you'll find that it's still just as hard. And so you need to know that you're called. You need to have agreement in cooperation with your spouse.
Right. We've often said that, church is like family. If you understand family, yeah, understand church. And we expect our children to eventually grow up and start their own families. So we shouldn't be surprised, when someone in our church, those within our realm of responsibility, says, I'm called to plant a church. What else do you say to this, Ron?
Well, first of all, Jeff, that kudos to that. That is so true. You need to have agreement with you and your spouse. Secondly, then, I would say you look at leaders, those that you are in accountability with. Right. And sometimes, as you said, Jeff, it could be a trendy thing. One of your best friends is planning a church, or somebody else you know, and it looks really cool. Man, we ought to do that. So run it past the leaders that you are already walking with. What is their sense? Could be a timing issue, maybe not even necessarily that you're not called, but it could be a timing issue. There may be some other things you need to learn, but I'd go to your leadership that you're walking with first and see if you can get agreement there. If they're not a church planting mindset, or they don't have any vision to really see churches planted, then you may have to look elsewhere. And there's lots of places you can look as far as, Lord, where are you leading us? Where are you connecting, or want us to connect, or me to connect, to really see what is in my heart fleshed out? But first and foremost, as you said, Jeff, your spouse, and secondly, the leadership of where you're being called currently.
Amen. And Ron, just to add on to that, you know, that's why the church planting assessment is so important as well. Sometimes you're called to be a part of a church plant, but maybe not necessarily as the number one guy or gal. And maybe you're supposed to go as support, but that church planting assessment helps you kind of just flesh all that out.
Very true. Very true.
Now, we all know it's important to build teams. So talk to us about how do you build a church planting team? Talk to us about teamwork. Talk to us about how you build a team. How do you start?
I think probably first of all, and we've said it earlier, but you still have to go back to the why. When you're going to plant a church, you have to go back to the why. It has to be God's call on your life, number one. Secondly, you're going into a region. You're looking at what is a current need in the region that the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart to address or to assist in. And out of that comes your vision. And as you then share your vision with like-hearted people and like-minded people, the Lord will begin to bring a group of people around you, a core team. Out of that leads to praying into that specific. So I would not go alone. I mean, there have been people that have done that. That is really hard. I would always look to build a team, and the building a team is centered around like vision, like call, and have a felt need that you are meeting within that community. What do you think, Jeff?
Amen. I agree. I think that Oikos evangelism model is so important. We've also seen it. I've seen some success with the scaffolding methodology as well. If you're being sent by a mother church, so to speak, that a certain amount of people will go with you. And typically that scaffolding team will stay for 1 to 2 years. And again, I'm a stats guy. Typically 80% will go back to the sending church within that 2 years or so. But I've seen great success with that because one, they have the DNA of the house and they have the trust of the leader. And so they go as a team, and then they're still building the team as they get there as well, but they're able to saturate the area in a much deeper, more effective way.
You mentioned the Oikos principle, Jeff. Explain to our listeners, what is that?
So the way it's in the original language, it's talking about your family, but in the sense that we use it, it's those people in your sphere of influence, those who you come in contact with on a regular basis. And so I always, when I teach this, I always tell people, you know, the person that you see at the gas station every time you go and fill up, which is quite often these days, you go inside and you pay, right? Why? It's less convenient, but you're going to build relationships. And so you frequent the same restaurants, you frequent the same stores, you just kind of get out into the community and make connections and just pray prior to that the Lord would set it all up. Because there's people out there, they want to be a part of something. They just don't know anything's out there. So we got to loosen our lips a little bit and just go out there.
Yeah. When I've taught on the Oikos principle in different parts of the world, I often ask this question to the audience. I'll say, how many of you came to Christ because you read it in a book and you get a few hands? How many came to Christ because you went to a big meeting or crusade? You get just a few hands. You know, and I give all these different ways people come to Christ and meet Jesus. And then I'll ask this question. How many of you came to Christ because of the influence of a family member, somebody you know on a regular basis or meet on a regular basis, your oikos, which is the Greek word for household, fellowship of people. And, you know, usually like 95%+ of hands go up. And then my response is, why should we think it'll be different in the next generation? It really, really does use it. What made you on that?
Very, very true. The other aspect of it, and that's all very true. The other aspect is the thing that you like to do. So I was sharing here not too long ago, and I pulled into the parking lot in my motorcycle, and I saw four other motorcycles in the parking lot. So when I started and began to teach out of the session, I said, all right, where are the riders? Four individuals raised their hands. I said, you're part of my Oikos. We immediately can make a connection because we're centered around the same hobby kind of thing. So, and when you're talking about church planning, you look at what you do and then how can I do this among the unsaved? How can I take the thing I really love to do, then how can I get around people who don't know Jesus that love to do that as well? Because immediately I have a connection with them.
Exactly. Yeah, I just wrote a little blog article about these niche church plants that are seeing great success and impact in their communities. And so you said one of them right there, Ron, the bikers. We've seen biker church just flourishing, and some out in the Midwest, we've seen cowboy church. There's a plethora of others.
Yeah. We've been helping some people plant churches right now here in Pennsylvania. And honestly, the people, when I get to these churches, some are smaller churches, 20, 25, might be micro churches, house churches, whatever. But, you know, the people in those churches, many of them first generation Christians, most of them are, probably would not fit into another church that I would prefer even. And so we need new wineskins for new wine. I think that's part of the whole deal that we're talking about. And for all of our listeners who are listening, check on the show notes. You want to know more about this book, Church Planting Made Practical. You want to know more about Jeff, his ministry, Ron's ministry. A lot of information there. So check the show notes out on that. Guys, I got this question for you. If a younger leader came to you, and this is a leadership podcast, we're focusing on church planting, but it's a leadership podcast. If a young leader came to you and say, give me some advice, how can I stay healthy as a church planner? Even as a leader, period, what are some things I can do to stay healthy? What would you say? And don't all speak at once.
Okay. Well, I'll take this one. How do you stay healthy? I think there's a couple things in play. One, surrounding yourself with people who are a little bit further down the road than you are. People that will speak life into you. People that will encourage you when you are in your low moments. Another thing would be to read all you can about church planting and leadership. I would recommend 21 Tests of Leadership by Larry Kreider. You may have heard
of it. Excellent book.
I heard of him.
Yes. Yeah. And so, because that speaks to the heart of some of the things you're going to come in contact with. And so you really need that foundational setup to see long-term success.
Good. Ron.
I think there's a couple of things just to add to that. Those are excellent, Jeff. The whole self-awareness piece is so key. And the second one is know your capacity. You can't compare yourself to somebody else. Ephesians 4 says that we grow in the body when each of us does our share. So when I'm doing what God has called me to do, as I'm growing my self-awareness, becoming more like him, as I'm doing what God is calling me to do, I'm helping the person working with me grow as well. So if Jeff and I were planning a church, the best thing I can do is be myself, growing, maturing. But the best thing I can do to help Jeff grow is to be myself. The best thing he can do is to help me to grow is for him to be himself. So self-awareness. The second thing, or another key, is that, especially in the realm of church planning, to realize that you are an answer to prayer. This isn't just, oh, wow, God's just picking you out of nowhere. It's because somebody somewhere was praying for a move of God in that region and praying for an expression there. And literally, you're coming to bring completion to a prayer, not to bring any kind of competition to anybody. So that whole self-awareness thing, realizing that the reason we can even exist and the reason we're even called here is because somehow, somewhere, someone was praying and God is responding to that prayer.
So good. Talk to us about coaching, mentoring, as far as leadership in general, and also for church planters. What does that look like? What should we look for when it comes to coaching and mentoring? Ron, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'll just put a plug in for Jeff. Jeff is one of the best coaches I know when it comes to that. When he was here in the States, and he's just in the Philippines here about a little over a year ago, when he was here in the States, he was coaching a number of church planters right there in the Philippines. Coaching, from my perspective, is just key. There's such a need for a primary leader, a church planner, to have someone beyond their team. Right. They need to process things with their team, but then beyond their team, they need someone to speak into their life, someone who's outside the situation, someone who can speak wisdom, someone who can speak experience, someone who can say, yeah, that's a good thought, keep on that, or hey, you may want to fine-tune that a little bit, that kind of thing. So it is just so key.
Great. Jeff, what do you think?
Amen. Oh, that's great. You know, I always say that we need a fresh set of eyes on certain situations, and even in our lives, because face it, we all have blind spots in our lives, and we have blind spots within our church plants as well. And so we just need someone from outside perspective coming in and letting us stop and pause and think about a few things. And a good coach will bring that out of that church planter, ask enough good questions, get right down to the heart of things. And, you know, I always think the best coaches really care. It's more than a coaching session. They care about the church planter and they care about the kingdom. And so they take it very serious.
One of the other dynamics of that, Jeff, is, at least for me, what I've come to the realization, and I've shared this with numerous people, is I'm just one voice. Mm-hmm. And the best thing I can do is help them hear the voice. What mm-hmm. is the Holy Spirit speaking to them? I'm a voice, but I am not the voice. And mm-hmm. I'm here to help teach them, equip them, help them hear the voice so that they can fulfill His plan.
That's great.
It's all built on trust, guys, isn't it? You know, people that really that we trust, they have our best interests at heart. And good coaches ask lots of questions to really find out what's in our hearts. Often we even know inside, but we need people to ask the right questions, you know, to come out.
To draw it out. Yeah.
That's true. I really think it is. What are some key issues the two of you find church planters face today?
Well, I think, you know, again, I think it's become a little bit trendy. You know, we've read the books of the past, which says, you know, it's easier to birth a baby than to raise the dead. And so rather than take an existing legacy church and revitalize it or, you know, assume the leadership role there, we want to just start from scratch. And that's just a little bit misleading because it's super tough to ministry in general is just tough. Now, starting a new work, you're going to come up against a lot of opposition from the enemy of our souls. And so that's just a fact. And you're going to do battle big time. And so you just need to be prayed up.
Yeah. Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode.
I think the biggest challenge of any church planter is relevancy. How to stay relevant with society around them. I mean, we know society is constantly changing. The Word of God never changes. The values, our values shouldn't change. But then how do we present those values in a changing demographics around us? How can we take a perceived need in a community and bring the kingdom into that need? How can we make sure that that need is being met in a kingdom way? So how do we stay relevant? And I think the second aspect is, first of all, staying relevant. But then the second piece is, how do I, in other words, I want to plant a church that I'm comfortable with, that is my expression, and yet it has to be something that is relevant to those around me. And I've involved with a church planter who I'm not convinced that their methodology is going to attract the people where they're located. It may work somewhere else, but not there. And you have to be willing to lay down your own, well, I like to do it this way, because it's not going to meet the needs of the people where I'm planting, kind of thing. So being relevant and yet being willing to change and adjust to society around them.
Ryan, that is just so, so good. Somebody can be very effective at one location, one kind of church, one place, and think, well, I can do it here. I can do the same thing in another part of the world, another part of my nation. Yeah. Maybe not. We were hearing God on that.
Yeah. And you know, the churches that run into problems are those who come and they do that cookie cutter method. You know, it worked here, so we assume it's going to work here and here and here. And I believe the stats, again, I'm sorry, I'm a nerd, but depending on what you read, between 50 and 80% of all church plants will fail in the first 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's also been proven that there's a huge difference between those who are connected to others who've done it before, a church planting movement or, you know, some kind of a group that's been, they're doing it together, not just themselves. Usually people go out themselves. They're the ones that get kicked out of the saddle, as we often say. You know, it's a bit like franchising. You know, most in the franchise world, most new businesses work long term, 80, 90%. Yeah. By those who are not franchised, you're right. Most fail. That's why we do need help. We need to reach out to others beyond us. Talk about any landmines we need to avoid, guys. Any landmines and church planning we need to avoid?
Landmines. Comparison trap is
one of them. Oh, that's good. That's good.
You know, just looking at all the people who are you know, and unfortunately, sometimes we have this false view of success as it's found in our numbers, as far as butts in the seats. And that's just a metric. It's not the only metric that we need to be paying attention to. And I think finally we've come to realize that there are healthy small churches and there are healthy larger churches. And so don't always look at the number because that can be misleading. And of course, we're called to not rearrange the body of Christ, but we're called to make disciples. Yeah. We're called to go out and reach those who are far from Christ and bring them into the family of God. And sometimes what I see is we go out and we're just doing rearranging, really. I would always say, rather than do that, we need to be more outward focused right from the get-go. Set that as part of your DNA and your church culture.
Good. Yeah. Ron?
I think one of the keys when it comes to church planting, because it really interweaves with a lot of the things we were talking about here today so far, but the whole self-awareness piece to make sure you don't fall into spiritual pride where you totally guard and you need to guard the vision God's given you, but it's almost like you take an unhealthy stance and say, well, no one else can speak into this because no one else received the word of the Lord like I have. And you end up being too stringent and you miss the added flavor that God wants to bring with people around you to really see his heart fleshed out for the community, to know that you carry a piece of it, but you might not carry everything. You're, as a church planter, you're ultimately responsible, but there's a lot of others around you the Lord wants to bring in to help flavor, help form that church plant. So I think a pitfall can be where you just become too guarded and don't allow others to speak into it. Secondly, as that continues to grow, another pitfall is you become too secure in your own successes. And that's where spiritual pride comes in. And it goes back to, again, looking at those 21 tests of leadership. There are so many things that just going through natural life will help form you. Everything you're going through today is helping form you for the future. You need to go through the rejection. You need to go through the difficult times because it's all part of God forming you and forming more of him inside of you and forming you more to his image.
Guys, this is so good. One more last question. Are you ready?
Ready.
Anything else you want our listeners to know about planting new churches or anything else, any keys in leadership that you want to download here before we close this podcast? Yeah, it's been so good. Jeff, we'll start with you.
I think I already shared this little piece, but you know, I it's all about starting right. Okay. And so if you start out with that outward focused servant heart, you're going to be so much better off. And I would say remain that way. Even as your church starts growing, the tendency is to pull back. I say, push forward and just continue practicing acts of kindness, servant evangelism, just going out there, getting involved with the community, seeing the heartfelt needs of the community and meeting them. Go into the high schools and the elementary schools and meet the teachers, the counselors, the staff there, and just connect with them in a meaningful way. Why? Because if you're there in that community to see change, you're going to have to get out there and mix with the people.
Good. Ron, let's move on.
I think one of the keys for me when it comes to church planning is to know what God has called you to. Obviously, there's different styles. We really look at three as far as three different types. You have the micro church or house church, put those together, and then a community church, which is larger, and then also a mega church. But to know out of the gate, you know, I'm really called to plant house churches or micro churches. To know that, it helps you set the pace, and it helps you set your parameters. I'm working with a church planner right now. And that's what they need to decide so that they are able to communicate the vision even more clearly to know this is the way I'm wired. I'm wired for micro church. Therefore, community church is really not the way I'm wired. So that would not be advantageous for me to head down that track. Conversely, if I'm called to community church and build to a couple hundred people, then I'm probably not wired for a micro church or a house church kind of thing. So to know what you're called to and then take steps toward that. Secondly, is we've already said it, build team. Thirdly, self-awareness. Make sure you're self-aware of capacity. Look to increase your capacity, but know what your capacity is. And that's where you really draw from other people around you. I'm really good at this. I'm really going to generate this, but I really am lacking here. And that's where I need other people. And I'm praying other people into that. Finally, just to reiterate what Jeff already said, is I must keep looking outside. What I find, it's easy to be content or to focus on what the Lord brings and focus all my attention on what's in the house, so to speak, instead of looking out, taking care of the 20 youth that I have in the local church and negating going to the 300 that are in the school right down the street.
Guys, this is so good. Jeff Hoagland from Manila, Philippines, Ron Meyer, South Central Pennsylvania, authors of Church Planning Made Practical. It's a really practical book. Highly recommend it. You can check our show notes, go into Amazon.com, any of these books, 21 Tests of Leadership, any other books we talked about, all on there. Check out the show notes. And guys, thank you for joining me today for the Larry Crater Leadership Podcast. It was refreshing. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, it's an honor to be with you.
Great. Yes, thank you so much for having us on, Larry. Jeff, so good seeing you again. Blessings to both of you.
God bless.
Bless you guys. Everybody, it was so good having you on the podcast today, where we share these little changes we can make in our lives that make a massive difference if we apply them, led by the Holy Spirit, not only affecting our lives, but affecting the lives of many that we serve, not only in our area, but around the world. So God bless you. Look forward to having you back here next week on the Larry Crater Leadership Podcast.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.